You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. That's one part blah, 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 one part ha, 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 and just a smidgen of ta-da!
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm not sure which holiday this is, but I don't know which one it is. It could be Easter, it could be April Fool's. They're right next to each other. What does that say? I mean, is that what we want? Like, happy Easter, April Fool's. You don't want that. That's what you get when you have Easter at the end of March and April Fool's the first day of April. You're going to get that kind of confusion. Hey, happy Easter. Oh, April Fool's. I don't know. Hey, thanks for being here nonetheless. It's no effort on my part, but you had to do something to come here, so I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And next time, if you could, when you stop by next time, if you could put some pants on, I'd appreciate it. I mean, I think you know this. If you have Comcast, that Xfinity thing, which is a word they made up, doesn't mean anything. If you have one of those cable boxes, you know there's a camera in there and it can watch you all day. You didn't know that, did you? April Fool's, Easter. All right, that's enough. That'll be enough theme music. Before I start the show, I do this every once in a while. I recognize some of the people that make this show possible. First, there's me, which really doesn't matter all that much. My name's in the title of the show, but who cares? And then there's John Shanahan, our announcer, comedy writer, does a lot of the comedy bits on this program. Give it up for him. I don't know why, but there you go. John's a great guy. And then there's Nicole Reed. She books many of the national interviews that we do on this program. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program as well. And then there's Jason Shaw, who composes and performs our theme music, our closing theme, and some of the incidental music, incidentally. And those are just some of the people that take place here. And then we have agents all across the country that do various things for us as well. So, and I have a social media manager who yells at me every once in a while and says, Ron, you don't ask people to like you or follow you enough. And I say, the last time I asked somebody to follow me, I had to issue 10 restraining orders. It was not good. So stop telling me what to do. Anyway, it's also the beginning of April, which to many people is a good thing. Not so much to me, because that means the warmer weather is coming and I hate insects and mosquitoes are out to attack me and give me some kind of a rare blood disease. The lawn has to be mowed if you have one. People make a lot of noise. They're screaming. There's a lot of drinking in the streets. There's a lot of shootings, some drive-bys. It's just there's more traffic. People stink. They smell. You go to the beach and people are being loud and you get sand and everything. And just lie out in the sun. You get a sunburn and you get some kind of skin cancer later on in life. It's a potpourri of crap that goes on, not to mention that you're sweating all the time. Anyway, so be it, whatever, my favorite phrase, whatever, because it fits just about every situation. You shouldn't always say whatever out loud. When you do say it out loud, use that little California Valley kind of deal, you know. Don't just say, oh, whatever. That's not good. You have to throw the entire theatrical force behind it. Oh, whatever. You have to do it like that. It's much more condescending, and it's effective. But you shouldn't say it out loud. That's something you should say to yourself. There are many things you should say to yourself and you shouldn't say to other people. You can look at the other people and think it, but you shouldn't have it come out of your mouth. And one of those is, whatever, but don't say it because that's insulting. And don't ever like verbally say, you know, you're an asshole. Don't ever say that. You can think that continually, but you can't say it because it is just not right. It's just not right. Speaking of assholes, how you doing? I was going to Google the meaning of April Fool's Day, which is indeed today, apparently, depending on when you're listening to this. Why is it the first day of April? That's the only number that they all had an agreement that it would be effective. What are the origins of that stupid freaking holiday thing with the April Fools? What is that about? And I was going to Google it, but once again, when I Google things, I feel like I'm less of a human being. My curiosity has turned me into an idiot. I am falling prey to the machines that tell me things that I don't really know anyway, and that's embarrassing in itself. So I don't discuss my Google searches with people. And people come up to me all the time, Ron, how are you today? What did you Google search today? It's not how are you or how are you feeling. It's what did you Google search today? No, I'm not playing that game, homie. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Whatever. So I did some research on my own, and I asked some people what they thought April Fool's came from, why that day is being celebrated as a national holiday, and schools are off and the whole bit. Schools aren't off. April Fool's. Why are the banks closed and the post office closed? They're not closed. April Fool's. This will go on forever. It's just annoying. I believe that April Fool's was created by an original asshole. Now, as we delegate Jesus to be the man and representation of a deity in a pious, holy way, there was probably some guy named Bob who was this incredible asshole back in the 14th century BC. I don't know. I don't know the timing on it. Bob would walk around embarrassing people and playing jokes on them and then laughing his ass off at them, which is where the phrase asshole came from. To make fun of someone is a horrible thing. It comes under the category of bullying. Here's the problem with April Fool's Day. The person who is doing the fooling, the perpetrator, is usually the asshole. And if you do it every once in a while, no, I'm not talking about you, okay? Let's get that straight. But that's usually the asshole because that person gets an incredible joy and will actually laugh in your face while you're sitting there being stupefied because you were the victim. And as bad as April Fool's Day is, and a person plays a fool prank on another person, that's bad enough. Because the person that got pranked is really pissed, but their reaction is to laugh because they don't want to appear like they're pissed because that was the idea of the whole activity to begin with, and you're not going to give that person a satisfaction. Are you following me? But when a prank is pulled on somebody and there's a group of people in on the prank, and you're the only one that's the victim, and there's a group of people laughing at you and pointing at you and saying, what an idiot you are, we just pranked you. That's a horrible feeling. And the victim can laugh to make it look like, okay, I'm all right with it. I mean, you can't make me look like an idiot, but you really feel like one. So there shouldn't be an April Fool's Day. People shouldn't be fooling somebody else into embarrassment. It's just not right. And if you get your jollies out of making somebody else feel inadequate and embarrassed, then you really need to see some type of therapist. Oh, I can only feel good about myself when I've put somebody else down. And that's pretty much the name of that game. So, happy asshole day to you. And oddly enough, yesterday was Easter. I cannot explain this either. I really cannot. I can't. This is like going to church, you know, and being a good person so you can go to heaven because, you know, that's the ticket to get there. And as soon as you leave the church, now, how am I going to play a joke on that guy and make him, I'm going to pull his pants down. That's what I'll do. Oh, come on. Anyway, again, happy Easter / April Fool's Day. There you have it. Anyway, April, God, what a month, huh? March apparently comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb. Not seeing a lamb so far. Do you remember back in February, Groundhog's Day? Do you recall that day where your life and your seasons were charted by a mole, by some type of vermin? I don't know the difference between a groundhog and a beaver. I guess there's a species difference there. I think a beaver is a rodent. Well, I don't know what a groundhog would be too. All right, fine. All right, well. So my life is going to be predicted by a rodent with human beings standing around cheering on the rodent, wearing a top hat and a monocle. And I don't think so. But the rodent did say it was going to be an early spring. And there you go. Easter is the last day of March. Well, that was one incredible rodent, wasn't it? These are the stupid holidays of our time. Groundhog's Day. What? April Fool's Day. What? And even Flag Day. Okay, all right. I guess some of you are into that. That's the day where you're supposed to display a flag. But there are other holidays where Memorial Day, you display a flag. July 4th, Independence Day, you display a flag. Why do you need an extra flag day? Can't we marry some of these holidays together? And stop calling it President's Day. If you want to celebrate Washington's birthday with a cake or Lincoln's birthday, unfortunate what happened to him. But a general President's Day, my friends, I do not put my presidents on pedestals automatically. Case in point, 2016. Anyway, I'm not celebrating President's Day anymore because they're not all people to celebrate at all. They are to be chastised and ridiculed and released from public duty. President's Day, too general. Sorry, not doing that one. But this is America. We can do what we want. And I think that's the problem partially. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just so messed up. Unfortunately, I will be talking politics every once in a while on this program until Election Day. Because there is just, it's just too consequential. And those that listen to the show know which way I lean. I lean this way. My name should be Eileen. But it's not. It's Ron. Thank you. Nice to meet you. I do lean in a certain direction. I think you know that. And I'm not going to get into it right now. But I'm telling you something right now. It's this election will make the difference between me being happy and getting a therapist on retainer. Okay. I do have an interesting guest coming up momentarily. Of course, whether that guest is interesting or not is totally your perception. We live in a world of perception. It's not what it really is. It's what you perceive it to be or what you've been brainwashed that it is. Interesting layers of anything from the truth or anything factual. I remember Donald Trump. Do you remember this guy, Donald Trump? I think he was president once. I'm not sure. And he said, fake news, fake news. When you listen to the news, it's they're all lies. They're all lies. And then we come to find out, oh, my God, it was you that was lying all the time. And apparently we bought it. Hopefully just the first time around, but we bought it. The lying's on the other foot. It always was. That's as political as I'm going to get today. I need to retain some friends. Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, my guest will be joining us.
Hello, this is Father Mike Slannery of the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Church here in town, and I wanted to publicly apologise for the church's recent presentation of the one-man musical review, Jesus, Live and Off the Cross. Our rectory assistant, Marjorie Griffin, who is usually very sharp about these kinds of things, and who was responsible for events like our recent excellent visitation and speech by the Pope's brother's friend's dentist niece, admits that she did not do nearly enough research on the show, and like me, was expecting a program more along the respectful lines of Godspell or Jesus Christ Superstar. If you were in the audience that evening, you know that this was not the case. We did not know, for example, how racy the song There Is Something About Mary would be, and were just as shocked as many of you at the way it provided unnecessary and probably historically inaccurate details about our Lord and Savior's relationship with Mary Magdalene. I double-checked, and as I suspected, the words "hitting it from the back" never appear in the Bible. Had I thought to look at the song list before the show, I might have suggested the actor take out the rap number called "Loaves and Fishes, Bitches," and the crucifixion number titled "Let Me Get My Hands on You, Pontius Pilate." Well, the less said about that, the better. We are still cleaning the stage. Full refunds for anyone who wants one are available at the rectory office of the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Church, 27 Eucharist Way, which is open weekdays from 9 to 4, but not between 1 and 1:30 when Marjorie takes lunch. And please remember the teachings of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and forgive us.
Okay, I know who's not going to heaven now. All right, let's say hello to our guest. Tammy Thompson is here. She's a poverty expert, national speaker, and creator of The Psychology of Poverty. Thanks for being with us today, Tammy.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Actually, it's my pleasure, Tammy. Okay. I don't want to argue with you. We're talking about basically gender inequality, and this has had to change the lives of women living in poverty in your community. And that's been a problem for a while, certainly. But I guess there are many reasons for poverty, not necessarily financial, you say, as I understand.
That's right. I think we focus so much on the financial aspect of poverty, which is really important to focus on. But something that we've discovered that is equally important is helping people shift their mindset and recognizing and acknowledging how poverty is pervasive in a negative way, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It speaks to how people see themselves and how people view themselves in society and whether or not they believe that they can escape. Can they reach these other economic stability goals? And it really starts with how you see yourself and how you overcome adversity.
Yeah, the aspects of psychological poverty, let's call it, is that something that is self-induced or something that seems to be induced still by men in this world?
Well, I don't necessarily attribute it to men, right? I think that's unfair. Mm-hmm. I think there are also men in poverty who have the same struggles, uh-huh. right? Because if you have to think about what poverty is and how pervasive it is. If everything around you exudes poverty, your family, mm-hmm. right, you're coming from generational poverty, you've only experienced poverty, maybe from birth until adulthood, it starts to seep into your subconscious that maybe this is just how life is supposed to be for me. And if you settle into that mindset, it makes it very challenging to see yourself moving through the poverty cycle and towards economic stability. So what I do, develop this training rooted in my own experiences in poverty. This was a personal journey for me. I got frustrated. I started earning money. I started building a career, but I was unable to shake the poverty mindset mm-hmm. that was keeping me trapped. And I was making decisions as if I were still in poverty.
Yeah.
And my relationship with money was impacted. So I've developed this training specifically for folks who work with impoverished communities, government entities, nonprofit organizations, community organizations, and realize that even the folks who are experts in this space had not really taken the time to understand the psychological impact of poverty. So it doesn't matter how great your programs are. It doesn't matter if the books are great. What matters is getting to how people feel about themselves and what their relationship with money is.
Yeah, almost to the point where if you come out of poverty, you almost feel like you don't deserve it.
Yes, yes. And that's so perfect. That's a big issue, especially for people who are coming from generational poverty. Yeah. Everybody in my family is poor, and then I start to move forward, it can impact those relationships, right? Yes. People want to drag you back because you're foreign to them now. I don't understand what you're doing. Why are you trying to leave us? Do you think you're better than us? And it can sometimes create guilt and shame in the person who's moving forward, so much so that they begin to self-sabotage their progress because it's familiar. Even though it's uncomfortable, those circumstances are familiar. So it's a huge psychological, it's very interesting once you start digging into it. We see it a lot with people who hit the lottery, right? People who all of a sudden become millionaires. And just recently, this person who's incredibly blessed to become a billionaire by hitting, you know, this lottery. But if they are suffering from poverty trauma, it is very possible that they will spend that money. They will have that relationship with money that will eventually drag them right back into poverty. So addressing the mindset is so, so very important. Yeah.
Not only into poverty, I've interviewed people who were in that situation, and in every single case, their lives were destroyed. And you say, like, how is that even possible to destroy your life? I mean, you should, didn't bring them happiness. It brought them,
happiness.
No.
And it's because they haven't healed necessarily. You got to heal from that trauma. Yeah. And money's not going to fix it.
You know, Tammy, there was an entire generation that went through what you're talking about during the, you know, you go back to the 30s and the 40s and the 20s there with the Great Depression. They never psychologically came out of that. Even though they were doing okay, they were so thrifty because they knew that, well, this could happen again. And even if it doesn't, I wouldn't say screwed them up, but it was a lifetime struggle, even though there was no more depression.
A lifetime struggle. I always compare, you know, it's a tough comparison to make, but people who suffer food insecurity have some of the same challenges as folks who came through the depression, right? You start hoarding food because you're so afraid that something's going to happen and you're not going to have food. And you save every little piece of bread and it goes in the freezer. We all know seniors and elders who have experienced that, but I also know a lot of people in poverty who do the same thing. I'm one of them. I still struggle with this. I have enough food in my house right now that could probably feed about 50 of your listeners, even though I only live here alone. It's a very important thing to think about. If you are doing this work, if you are working with vulnerable populations of people, understanding the mentality behind poverty and how poverty trauma works is extremely important.
Yeah. It's interesting because we seem to vote for people that are extremely rich to represent the vast population that is not. It's kind of very, very interesting in that sense.
It is. It's actually counterproductive because those folks will never understand what we're dealing with. They'll never understand having to choose between milk or bread.
Never.
You know, so it is very interesting that money and how much money you have has started to dictate whether or not you're around this country.
I mean, I don't want to get political, but you're talking about a guy like, I'll talk about a guy like Trump who has no idea what it's like. None whatsoever. No, never grew up in it. Never even really saw it. Just unbelievable. Yeah. Okay. But that's not why we're here. So, how can we help people cope with a situation? I mean, you can't necessarily change the situation, but how do you cope with it and become a stronger person in any regard?
Well, I think we have to first start with empathizing and understanding that just because it's something doesn't make sense to us, mm-hmm. right? You might see people making decisions and you're like, oh my God, why did they do that? That doesn't make any sense. Why don't they just develop a budget and work on their credit? Yeah. You know, it's not that simple.
Yeah.
Those things are important for financial and economic stability. But if we're not addressing people's relationship with yeah. money, how do they see themselves in these financial principles? Or do they see themselves as yeah. homeowners or entrepreneurs? Will they ever see themselves as owners of assets?
Yeah.
We've got to take the time to be patient with people, help them understand, we see you, I see you, I know what you're going through. Let's talk it through. Let's work through the challenges. Let's work through how you see yourself. You do belong here.
Yeah.
Homeownership is for you. Wealth building is for you. And I think we just continue to encourage people yeah. and help them address that trauma so that they can move forward.
Yep. And even though we're going in the right direction, there's still a great inequality with as far as women are concerned. So
yes.
that's got to improve. We do it.
Got to improve.
Yeah. I mean, we do it slowly but surely, but it's too slow and it's too surely.
Yeah.
Whatever that meant. Okay. How do we get more information if we wanted to pursue this?
Well, I would love for folks to check out our website. Our website is www.catapultpittsburgh.org. We're a nonprofit located in Pittsburgh, but we are currently working on a national expansion. So we're looking to bring our services and programs to other parts of the country. So if any of your listeners are interested in how they can do this work
mm-hmm.
In their community, reach out. We'd be happy to have a conversation.
Okay. And can they get in touch with the Tammy Thompson?
They can get in touch with Tammy Thompson. They can go through our website. My contact information is on the website. Folks can reach out anytime. I'd be happy to have a discussion.
Great. Hey, it's been great speaking to you. You're a great spokesperson. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate your time, and thank you for having me on. I'll come back anytime. You're a kind gentleman.
Well, that'll do it for today. Have yourself a wonderful April Fool's Day. And I'll be with you tomorrow with a brand new episode. Join me then, will you? Until then, I wish you peace.